Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 13 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me again today is Brian Lockhart of the Hamilton Shot by Shot, and a few other podcasts. So welcome back to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me back. Hopefully our friendship is not ultimately doomed.
Let's hope not. Let's hope. Thankfully, neither of us is Harry Burns, so I don't think we really need to be that concerned about that.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully. That's my goal, that we don't need to be concerned about that.
Right. But well, I'm here now, and I'm happy to be back. Thank you.
All right. So episode 13 begins with Sally actually taking the bait. And ends with Sally being a little bit disappointed. So this is a very, very dialogue-heavy minute. You know, there's this long conversation between Harry and Sally. And it started off yesterday by Harry trying to instigate this new conversation by basically saying to Sally, you know, well, you realize, of course, that we can never be friends. And the question is, where do we go from there? And they do a nice job here of that. So the conversation continues with Sally saying, why not? What I'm saying is, and this is not a come on in any way, shape, or form, is that men and women can't be friends because the sex part always gets in the way. Sally turns to him and goes, that's not true. I have a number of men friends, and there is no sex involved. No, you don't. Yes, I do. You only think you do. You're saying I'm having sex with these men without my knowledge? No. What I'm saying is that they don't want to have sex with you. They do not. Do too. So again, it's such a great debate between the two of them because, you know, they sound like little kids the way they're debating these old things. And then Sally,
I even said this is such a college age kind of debate.
Yes.
You know, like the college. Yeah. Like you wouldn't find like a 45-year-old couple having this debate, I don't think. Not as open and it's so matter of fact as each one of them have taken their positions.
Right. That's true. And then Sally goes, how do you know? Because no man can be friends with a woman that he finds attractive. He always wants to have sex with her. So you're saying, and at this point, Sally thinks she's actually got him. She feels that she's trapped him. You know, she goes, so you're saying, and she like smirks as she says that a man can be friends with a woman he finds unattractive. And then there's like a beat. And then Harry says, no, you pretty much want to nail him too.
His delivery on that is perfect.
Completely. It's just great. And then Sally goes, well, what if they don't want to have sex with you? And he goes, doesn't matter. Because the sex thing is already out there. It goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. It's a Seinfeldism. You know, it's already out there. So the friendship is ultimately doomed. And that is the end of the story. Well, I guess we're not going to be friends then. Guess not. That's too bad. So again, this whole minute is such a great conversation between the two of them. This is the whole premise of this entire movie. You know, this
yes,
minute
yes,
13,
it is.
And it's funny that it hits 13 because usually people say 13 is an unlucky number. But the way that it all plays out here is just done so well, you know, between two of them. It goes back to what we're talking about, that they have a great rapport between the two of them. You know, they're able to keep this conversation and it feels genuine. It feels real, everything that they're saying and the way that they're saying it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I called this minute like the mission statement of the movie, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thesis of the movie, like you said. It's right here.
Mm-hmm. And that's the whole conversation. You know, can a man and woman be friends and you know, not have any type of sexual relation between the two of them? That's what they're basically saying here. And I mean, this is, it's funny that this movie brings up the subject because it's something that I'm sure a lot of people have thought about, obviously since the movie came out, but even before the movie came out, I'm assuming there were people who always thought about these questions. That I guess that's where Rob Reiner and you know, Nora Ephron came up with the idea of doing this whole thing. You know, it's probably connected specifically to the fact that, is it possible? How can you do it? Like, what do you need to, what hurdles do you need to go over in order to curate a real friendship between a man and a woman that doesn't have any sex involved? That type of thing. And just the way that the conversation flows between the two of them is great. Because they keep countering one another. This isn't, a conversation where two people are agreeing on something, but the way that the debate rages between them is just superb. And I love the way they do
Yes.
it.
Well, I love the fact that Billy Crystal's picking his teeth with the toothpick throughout because they just left the diner, and but so he's so nonchalant in his reactions to her and his statements. It's not like he's not passionate. He's not like trying to win an argument. He's just stating to him what he thinks are just facts, and he does it in such a natural way. But also, again, the timing of when he. When he's made a couple zingers, it's pretty good.
Yeah, but I think that's that. I wonder how much of this is, ad lib from Billy Crystal or stuff that Rob Reiner wrote or whatever. There's because the movie is a collaboration between the two of them and Nora Ephron. There were a lot. I mean, based on what I've read and based on the commentary track of the DVD. Billy Crystal had a lot of input in things. They changed a lot of the script at the time. And remember, this was a time before computers, so someone had to retype the page every single time that they made changes and things like that. And it just works really well, the conversation between them. Now, you mentioned one of the two things that I was going to mention about this minute already, and we're going to get into a little bit of detail about it. I mean, first of all, as their conversation is happening. So, Sally is continuing to drive, and Harry, as you said, is sitting next to her playing with his picking his teeth, right? But did you notice that there is something on the dashboard in front of Sally? That is
Yes, it looks like
correct.
Tic
There is
Tacs.
a packet of Tic Tacs on the dashboard in front of her. So, Brian, what do you know about Tic Tacs?
They look like little Tylenol, and they make
Do
your breath smell better.
you have any clue
Well,
what
hopefully.
year they were first produced in?
Oh, absolutely not. But I'm sure somebody on this podcast might. It might just tell me right now.
Who could that be? Who could that
I
be?
don't know. I don't know.
So a Tic Tac is a brand of small hard mint manufactured by the Italian company Ferraro, and they were first produced in 1969. And you can get them in a variety of flavors in over 100 countries these days. Okay, they were originally sold in small transparent plastic boxes with a flip-action living hinge lid, which is what we see in this movie also. Okay, they sometimes dye them specific colors to show the different flavors that they have. But nowadays, the containers themselves are usually colored, and the Tic Tacs themselves, doesn't matter what the flavor, they're all pretty much going to be white. Okay, they advertise them that they are a low calorie kind of mint, where they say that it's a 1.9 calories per mint in general. The original name of them before they were called Tic Tacs were called Refreshing Mints, and a year later in 1970 they changed the name to Tic Tacs because of the distinctive clicking sound that was made by the pack when you opened and closed it.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, originally they started two flavors. They had mint and orange, and then they added a whole bunch of more. A whole bunch more. They added aniseed, cinnamon, an orange and lime mix was added in 1976. Spearmint, peppermint, power mint, sour apple, mandarin, tangerine, berry, fresh orange, strawberry, wintergreen, pink grapefruit, orange and lime, which was created in 1978, cherry, passion fruit, pomegranate, mango, lime, and popcorn. That one throws me off the most, that they made a popcorn flavored Tic Tac. I mean, I know that you can get jelly beans with a whole bunch of different types of flavors, but I never thought that you get a Tic Tac with the flavor of popcorn.
Yeah, that's not a pass. I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, and they used to have a grape flavor that they discontinued because apparently it contained red dye, which was suspected as a carcinogen. So they stopped doing it. They actually have that. What do you know? What the slogan is?
No.
The slogan of Tic Tacs is the 1.5 calorie breath mint.
Kind of says what it is right there.
Yeah. And in Europe, they advertise it by saying that 2 hours of Tic Tac freshness is less than 2 calories. So, and then there are other places where it's not just a mint, it's a Tic Tac. And in India, it's actually, the slogan is refreshment to be shared. So, yeah, it's interesting how they actually do the, you know, how it's, first of all, it's lasted for, it's, was it 50, 53 years old by now? You know, they started having, in 2008, they started making a little larger Tic Tacs. They would call them Tic Tac Chills, which comes with a dual opening package that uses the traditional living hinge and also has a sliding open on the front. And they brought the three new flavors for it: exotic cherry, berry blast, and paradise mint. Actually, I almost said parasite mint. Paradise mint. They are sugar free, and you know that's probably why they are less than 2 calories for each.
Probably.
Yeah. Could be. And sometimes they will have Tic Tacs that are created that have limited editions because of movies and things like that. You know, there was a banana and mandarin flavor that was created for the Minions when that came out in 2015. In the movie Juno, they have orange Tic Tacs. So they, you know, they sold, they distributed boxes of mints prior to the movie being released for people to try to get them. Almost half of the world's Tic Tacs are manufactured in Cork, Ireland. And then they're also manufactured in 4 other countries: Australia, Canada, India, and Ecuador. So, I mean, I have a list of the ingredients here, but I don't think we're really going to go into this. I don't think that we really need to know, you know, how much grams of each thing is listed in, you know, in each Tic Tac. And the second thing I want to talk about was a toothpick. Okay. So what do you know about toothpicks?
They're typically wood and they're usually free at diners.
Okay. So a toothpick is a small, thin stick of wood, plastic, bamboo, metal, or bone, or some other substance with at least one end and sometimes two pointed ends that you can insert between your teeth to remove, it says here detritus. I don't know what that is, but to remove something that gets stuck between your teeth. That's more or less what it is. Sometimes they are used at festive occasions to hold appetizers or cocktails or fruit or things like that. You know, we actually do that. Sometimes we'll have a meal and we'll have, you know, watermelon or some sort of melon or grapes or something like that. And we'll just give everyone, you know, we'll have all these toothpicks on the table so people can just use those instead of having to bring out forks and things like that. You know, makes things a little bit easier. The history goes back really, really long ago. You know, they actually seem to have found the bones of a Neanderthal had a toothpick stuck in between his teeth. So this is like from 1.8 million years ago.
If something works, stick with it.
Apparently. Exactly. And in 1986, they actually found bones of Native Americans that was also proof that people used some sort of device to clean their teeth, a toothpick. In the 17th century, toothpicks were considered luxury items. And they had artfully stylized them, you know, and sometimes with precious metal and stones and things like that. So in 1869 was when they actually started manufacturing by machine toothpicks. And it was patented by a man named Mark Signorelli. And a few years later, there were two other people that patented a different kind of toothpick, named Silas Noble and J.P. Cooley. Usually wooden. What type of wood do you think they use mostly for toothpicks?
I know you mentioned bamboo, and that sounds right, but
No,
I have no
bamboo was a
idea,
different
honestly.
kind of, right?
Oh, different type. Yeah,
Right. Okay. So,
no idea. I'll just throw it out there and say
okay. Well, yeah, it's
cedar.
birch. It usually comes from birch,
All right.
where they take the logs. They first spiral cut them into thin sheets, and then they cut them, chop them, mill them, bleach them in order to lighten them and make the individual toothpicks by using them. Most people prefer to use different implements these days to clean their teeth as opposed to toothpicks. People use dental floss, toothbrushes, the things that spray water between your teeth and stuff like that.
Oh, the water
Yeah,
pick.
exactly. And yeah, that's what I found about toothpicks. So I thought that would be a little interesting to discuss in this minute. So, did you have anything else you wanted to say about this conversation between Harry and Sally before we get into the script?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay. So I gotta say, in this minute, the script is almost word for word for what happens on screen. The only difference is Harry says instead of you pretty much want to nail them too, he says you pretty much want to have sex with them too. And I think
No,
it works much better to
nails
say you want to
better.
nail them too. Billy Crystal's
Yeah,
delivery
yeah.
here is just superb.
Now that could have been one of his, he's a comedian and he's got a good timing and he, was going through the script and he goes, no, this might work better and he,
Yeah, for sure.
and it does.
There's no question about that. That is much better. All right. So on every Wednesday, we have a segment called Harry Burns Hunt Day, where my guests will give their top five Billy Crystal performances. So what have you got for us, Brian?
Top five, though, for real, is the movie Running Scared with Gregory Hines and him.
Oh, I love that movie.
I watched it not too long ago. It holds up. It's pretty fun.
Yes, it really does.
We'll go with The Princess Bride.
Have fun storming the castle.
Yeah, he's mostly dead. When Harry Met Sally 3, and City Slickers number 2, and Analyze This number 1. That's the first
I
one.
probably should see that again. I haven't seen Analyze This in a long time.
Yeah, he. I mean, the first one's better than the second for sure, and he does a good job. So does De Niro.
Yeah. Well, De Niro does a good job in just about anything that he does.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to really think hard to find. Actually, I'm assuming he De Niro does have some movies that aren't as good, but
The older he gets, the more questionable some of his roles, I think. But there's just this. From when he was younger up, definitely during the Analyze This time frame, he was just kicking. He was on all cylinders, basically.
yeah, for sure. All right, so you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with Brian Lockhart.
Yeah, just look for me on Hamilton Shot by Shot podcast, going through Hamilton musical one song at a time, and it's just Hamilton Shot by Shot out there on the internet and where podcasts can be found.
All right, and while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. And finding me is very simple. You can find me on Twitter. You can go to directly to my website, movearoundminute.com, or you can actually find me on Facebook. Brian, you feel like maybe coming back again tomorrow?
Yeah, I gotta see how this car trip ends.
Maybe we'll get to see a little bit of New York.
Yeah, maybe.
Check out some of the 1977 sites that should be there or shouldn't be there. Who knows?
Right?
We're gonna have to wait and see what thing. And maybe we'll have a little bit of music to take us along the way. I don't know.
I'm up for it.
you know, let's call the whole thing off. All right, so until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.